Welcome to Sabbatical 101. My name is Bethany Walensky, and I'm an associate professor at Michigan State University. I had a life-changing sabbatical, and I'm on a mission to help fellow academics do the same. This podcast is a resource for all things academic sabbaticals. Each episode will provide you with inspiration and insight into the sabbatical planning process, regardless of your institution, discipline, length of sabbatical, or where you plan to sabbatical. I'm so excited to have you along for the ride. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Sabbatical 101. Today, I want to talk about why your sabbatical planning process needs to start with identifying your sabbatical purpose and tell you how you can do that. So first things first, I'm a planner. You can ask my friends and family. I like to know what's going on and when it will happen. I've probably said it before, but in another life, I'd be a travel agent. I like planning that much, and I especially like planning trips. So I'm a good planner because I like to think ahead, and I'm really organized. I'm pretty good at making a plan each semester for which projects I want to prioritize, and then putting tasks on my calendar each week to ensure I make progress toward my goals. So what surprised me most about planning my sabbatical was that it was a very different process than I was used to. It was very different from planning a semester or a month or a week. My sabbatical planning started with my sabbatical application. It was essentially a one-page document where I had to lay out what I would accomplish during my sabbatical and how those goals would contribute to my scholarly trajectory and benefit my institution. It seemed easy enough, so I started to write. I would go to Tanzania to start a new project with current and new collaborators that would build on previous work I'd done there. I also applied for a Fulbright to support this project, and that would allow me to spend the full academic year in Tanzania. I wrote it all up and hit send, feeling pretty pleased with myself for being so good at planning. My sabbatical was a year away, and I had it all figured out. Then everything changed. As I listened to my colleague David talk about his sabbatical in Florence, I started to question my plan. I imagined myself somewhere in Europe, walking down cobblestone streets, looking at beautiful architecture, and I felt a sense of calm wash over me. This was not the feeling I had when I thought about living in Tanzania for a year and starting a huge new project. I love being in Tanzania, but I noticed that thinking about living in Europe with my family for my sabbatical just felt so right in my brain and my body in a way that going to Tanzania for sabbatical didn't. The years that preceded going up for tenure and getting sabbatical were really difficult. After navigating COVID with two young children and huge interruptions to school and daycare, we were just feeling like things were returning somewhat to normal when my mom received a terminal cancer diagnosis that came as a complete shock. About 11 months later, my mother-in-law passed away unexpectedly, and then my mom died 10 days after that. My kids were 3 and 7 at the time, and we were all pretty broken. On top of that, this was January 2022, so COVID was surging again, and we were still living in a time when the threat of daycare and school closing down for weeks at a time loomed large. Everything was so uncertain, and we were so, so sad. I'm telling you this not because I'm looking for sympathy or because I want to be a downer, but because I think it might help you understand how exhausted I was by the time I got tenure and started planning my sabbatical. As I began to think about a sabbatical not in Tanzania and noticed how my brain and my body responded to the idea of spending sabbatical in a place, you know, somewhere in Europe, I started to ask myself why this was the case. Going to Tanzania for a sabbatical was the logical next step for my career. I didn't have any reason to go to Europe, other than it sounded like a fun adventure for me and my family. So why was this idea pulling at me so much? After thinking it over for a while, I realized that my feelings about these two sabbatical options had to do with what I needed from my sabbatical. This was a question that I had not yet stopped to ask myself. What did I need and want from my sabbatical? Once I asked myself this question, everything started to become so clear. What I needed and wanted from my sabbatical was to overcome my burnout and exhaustion.
I was already stretched so thin emotionally that what I needed was not to plunge into a new project, but to take care of myself so that I could get some perspective on my scholarly agenda and come back to my research refreshed and ready to engage with it productively. At that moment, I stopped focusing on what I thought I should do during my sabbatical, and I started focusing on what I needed and wanted from my sabbatical. So in my sabbatical planning program, this is now what I talk about as finding your sabbatical purpose. To identify my sabbatical purpose, I started by thinking about what I wanted to prioritize. I asked myself questions like, what would it look like to prioritize having an adventure as a family? What would it look like to prioritize my husband's career during sabbatical? What would it look like to have a sabbatical focused on finishing projects instead of starting new ones? What if I prioritized rest? Asking these questions opened up a whole new set of possibilities for sabbatical, and it's what led me to eventually decide that our family would spend the first half of sabbatical in Bordeaux, France, and the second half at home in Michigan. What I needed was to rest, reset, and feel less exhausted. I also wanted an adventure. Living in Bordeaux gave me what I needed. I did almost no work during those months and focused on my mental health and well-being. By the time we came back to Michigan, I was energized and ready to re-engage with my work. Now, you may be thinking, well, that's nice for you, Bethany, but I can't move to France for my sabbatical. I totally get it. I'm not saying you have to move to France to make the most of your sabbatical. What I am saying, though, is that before you start writing your sabbatical application or thinking about the projects you'll work on and making a list of the articles you'll submit, you need to take time to figure out what you need and want from your sabbatical. Start with your sabbatical purpose and then make a plan from there. I'll give you an example from one of my clients, Beth. When Beth and I started working together on her sabbatical, she was trying to decide whether she should stay home or go to Uganda for part of it. Beth has done research in Uganda, loves to travel, and her background is in comparative education. So going to Uganda for sabbatical made a lot of sense. However, Beth's husband would have to take a leave of absence for work if they did this, and she wasn't sure about all the logistics of moving her family to Uganda. By the time we started working together, Beth had pretty much decided that she'd just make a plan for both versions of her sabbatical, the one where she stayed home and the one where she and her family went to Uganda, and then at some point in the future, she'd figure out, make a decision about what to do. Just a few weeks into my sabbatical planning program, Beth realized that staying in Minnesota for sabbatical was the version that aligned best with her personal and professional priorities. She described feeling a sense of loss when she decided not to spend her sabbatical abroad, but also a sense of relief. Instead of staying tied to the sabbatical she thought she should have, Beth decided to lean into the one that she believed made the most sense for her in her current season, both personally and professionally. Now, it's coincidental that my story and Beth's both revolve around choosing not to go to East Africa for sabbatical. And I definitely don't want you to come away from this thinking that I'm advocating for taking sabbatical in one geographic region over another, or that I'm in favor of sabbaticals away versus sabbaticals at home, or vice versa. What I want you to take away from this is that a really critical part of the sabbatical planning process is identifying what you need and want from your sabbatical. In my case, and in Beth's case, this involved making a distinction between the version of sabbatical we thought we should take and the one that best fit our personal and professional needs and goals in our current season. I've mentioned this idea of seasons a few times, and I've also talked about it in other episodes, so let me just pause here to explain what I mean. I got this idea from Kendra Adachi, who's the host of the Lazy Genius podcast and has written several books about planning and prioritizing. In her work, Adachi talks a lot about living in your season. She stresses the importance of realizing that our lives and situations are constantly in flux, and that rather than have rigid rules or routines that we always abide by, no matter what the circumstances, we can learn to live and lean into our current season. So here are a few examples of what a season and living in your season might look like. As academics, we tend to already operate seasonally. For me, at least, the rhythms of the fall semester are quite different from the spring, and that's also different from the summer. Depending on how many classes I'm teaching in a given semester and what my professional goals are, I adopt slightly different rhythms and routines. I also commute for an hour to campus, so the number of meetings and classes I have during a semester really greatly affects my rhythms and routines. When I teach less and have fewer meetings, I don't have to go to campus as often, and so time feels a bit more expansive. Then summer is completely different. I'm not on contract. I'm not commuting. My kids are in summer camp, and we also take some time for family travel. I can't follow exactly the same routines in every season because I have different needs and priorities in different seasons. We can also have different seasons in our careers. The post-tenure season that I entered a few years ago is very different from my pre-tenure season. The stakes feel lower in this season, and I'm less stressed about unexpected interruptions. Your seasons may be defined by projects you're working on, the ages of your children and the developmental stages that they're in, your partner or spouse's career situation, your financial situation, and any number of other variables. Right now, my family is in a season where my son just started playing travel baseball, so we're figuring out what that means for our rhythms and routines. It's meant some nights we eat cereal for dinner, and we also eat a lot of sandwiches, and that my husband and I have more one-on-one time with each of our kids, but somewhat less time with each other. It also means sometimes my work day ends earlier, and I make up for it while I wait for my son to be finished with practice. To get back to the connection between seasons and sabbaticals, a really important realization for me as I planned my sabbatical was that I was in a season where what I needed to feel like a whole person again was to rest, recover, be present with my kids and husband, and spend time figuring out the next steps for my research agenda. When I leaned into that idea, I felt such a sense of relief, and I began to see how my sabbatical might help me get back to a place where I felt excited about my work again. Beth's season was defined by her husband's work situation and her children's needs, and by the realities of her institution and her role at her institution. A sabbatical in Uganda was attractive, but Beth realized that it didn't really help her create alignment with the realities of her current position and her research agenda. There was also a lot of friction when it came to figuring out how to make Uganda work for her family. When Beth leaned into her season instead of trying to work against it, that friction evaporated and she could see the strong alignment between her sabbatical plan and her current role. When you're able to identify and lean into your season, it becomes much easier to identify the purpose of your sabbatical, or what you really need and want from your time away. Like I said before, from my perspective, identifying the purpose of your sabbatical is the first and most important step in sabbatical planning. Without a purpose, you can't identify your priorities and goals, and without priorities and goals for your sabbatical, you can't make a plan. So, after all that, if you're still with me, and if I've convinced you of the importance of identifying your sabbatical purpose, you're probably now asking yourself how to do this. Well, I'm so glad you asked. What I recommend and what I guide my clients to do is to reflect on and respond to these questions. And I would encourage you to write down your answers or draw or doodle, whatever kind of helps you think creatively and expansively. So first, I want you to picture yourself on sabbatical. What does it feel like? What kinds of experiences are you having? What are your daily rhythms? Where are you, physically, geographically? Who are you with? Now, imagine yourself at the end of your sabbatical. What do you feel like? How is that different from the way you feel now? What will you tell others about your sabbatical? Complete this sentence. I will know my sabbatical was a success because. After you think about and respond to these questions, I want you to read through your answers. And you might want to take a few days to let the ideas you wrote down percolate and maybe come back and edit or even change your answers if you come up with new ideas. Then go back to your responses and look for patterns. Is there something about your life or situation right now that you're hoping will change during your sabbatical? What is it? Is there a particular mood or vibe you're hoping for on sabbatical? Are you hoping to change your location or something about your personal relationships? Write down what comes up for you as you read through your responses and notice what's there. After you analyze your responses, see if you can articulate 3 to 5 priorities for your sabbatical that align with the way you hope to feel and be during and at the end of your sabbatical. Then try to complete this sentence. The purpose of my sabbatical is. Hopefully, after doing all that, you'll have a greater sense of clarity about what you really need and want from your sabbatical. I encourage you to think about this as expansively and holistically as possible. So, not just what you want to gain or do professionally, but most importantly, what you need personally, so that you'll be able to show up after sabbatical in the mindset and with the energy you desire. The process of identifying your sabbatical purpose is simple, but it's not necessarily easy. You may need to spend more time than you'd like to thinking about these questions. Maybe you'll need to talk to a friend or a partner about them too. I would encourage you not to rush the process. Your sabbatical purpose sets the tone and intention for everything that follows in the planning process. So you want to be sure that you take the time you really need to get clear about this. I hope you found this episode helpful as you start to think about your own sabbatical. I know that identifying your sabbatical purpose might not be the first thing people think to do when they begin planning a sabbatical. But like I said before, I think it's the most important because it creates the foundation for your sabbatical. If you were interested in Beth's story and want to hear more about her sabbatical plans, you can listen to episode 7. And if you want to download a copy of my sabbatical purpose guide, which will walk you through the steps I just outlined, just click on the link in the show notes.
I hope you found this episode of Sabbatical 101 helpful and inspirational as you think about your own sabbatical. If you want to read more about sabbaticals or get even more support for planning your own life-changing sabbatical, head over to my website, www.bethanywalinsky.com, to read my blog and for more information about my sabbatical coaching program.